I'd like to call Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee to order. Let the record show it is 1:32 PM on March 29th, 2006. We do not have a quorum as yet. We'll have one here shortly. With me today, Senator Gary Stevens, myself, Chairman Bert Stedman. We have one item of business today that we've already had a public hearing on and previously heard. So we're going to continue the discussion of Senate Bill 248 dealing with administrative boroughs. The intent here is to move this bill out of the committee today. There doesn't appear to be any amendments coming forward. But it's been several weeks since we've had a discussion on this particular bill. So if we could have a brief overview again from the bill sponsor. And then we'll have some brief comments from the administration. We'll take a short recess. We'll come back in and take care of some business. With that, Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 248 is an important piece of legislation, I think, in that it it establishes a new form, a new class of borough government called the administrative borough, and it takes away several of the disincentives we've seen in the past to for areas to become boroughs. It's I see it as sort of a stepping stone toward becoming either a second class, first class, home rule, unified borough. So that's really the goal, is to help these areas get to the point that they actually can become organized boroughs. It's entirely voluntary. No one is going to be forced to do this. And that's really what it's all about, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. My understanding is that they would have an elective body. They would have the powers of planning, and land use. They could levy some sales tax or user's tax, but would not be a levy of property tax. And they would not have the power to provide education funds. So, with that, we have another member of the group that worked on this bill. From the Advisory Commission of Local Government, Mr. Scott Brand Erickson from Ketchikan, and if he has any comments. Scott, are you still on?
Yes, I am, Senator Stedman. Thank you for the opportunity to comment. I appreciated the time and attention that the commission spent in developing this legislation, and while there may be things about it that I might personally prefer be different, I think it's a reasonable compromise and offers a viable method to try and transition areas of the state in the unorganized borough into being organized boroughs. And I would urge the committee to approve the legislation and move it out of committee.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Scott. I'd just like to note again that he had spent numerous hours working on this. Do we have any comments from the audience? Anybody wants to come forward and speak on this? Would you come forward, and then maybe we can have a retrieval of the Senator Wagner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Mike Black. I'm the Division Director for the Division of Community Advocacy in the Department of Commerce.
Now, Mr. Black, if you do a good job, there's a good chance that this bill will move.
But then I'll do my best, I can tell.
Okay.
The department certainly supports this bill, and we did cooperate with the Advisory Commission in the discussion that led up to the development of the bill. There were, in our opinion, some great reasons why providing another alternative as a form of another form of borough that communities in the unorganized borough might find attractive has a lot of benefit to the state. So we feel that this does provide some strong incentives for the formation of boroughs in areas that otherwise might not find it very attractive. We did have some things we would like to point out to the committee that might be some housekeeping amendments, one of which is in the bill on Section 19. It states that each new administrative borough is entitled to an organizational grant of $750,000 over 3 years. While each new organized borough other than an administrative borough is entitled under the existing law to only $600,000. So it was, I assume, the intent that the additional money for organization would be available to any new borough, regardless of whether it was an administrative borough or other form of borough.
Mr. Black, I think when there's some issues and kind of some concerns with the fiscal cost of implementing this, and quite frankly, everything's going to be on the table at the Finance Committee, the next stop, and I think at that point, that committee will be taking a long look at the cost of implementing this. So,
well, then I'm sure that, Mr. Chairman, that will all these the financial issues would be scrutinized, and I'm sure that they would be taken care of. We did have some other housekeeping amendments. We could provide those to the committee, and I don't think we need to go through those. There's no major changes.
Okay. Thank you. With that, thank you, Mr. Black. With that, we're going to go to Lisa Von Bergen. I think she was also on the committee from Valdez, if she has a comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you mentioned, I did have an opportunity to sit on the Advisory Commission on Local Government, and I was very pleased and proud of the work that we were able to accomplish in the time frame that we had to do that. And I think this legislation moves a long way toward encouraging the development of regional government and representation in those areas where there currently is none in Alaska. However, I would like to draw your attention to one of the things that I discussed while on the committee, and that is the concern for forcing the unorganized areas into pre-established boundaries. And under Section 14C, it states, in setting boundaries of a proposed borough or unified municipality, consideration shall be given to existing administrative or corporate boundaries and to drainage basins and other regional geographic features. And there's some concern on the part of the city of Valdez and other areas of the state, other municipalities specifically, that this might, again, shove us into and put into statute what is outlined just currently in administrative code, that existing model borough boundaries should be given consideration first and foremost beyond any other boundaries that may be suggested, and that the onus is on those people applying for consideration for borough incorporation to prove otherwise. And so we would encourage you to look at potentially changing that language so that it is not suggestive of having to use model borough boundaries, and although it's not specifically stated there, it certainly is suggestive of that fact.
Okay, thank you. And the legislature and the communities appreciate your time and effort, Lisa, that you and Scott Fenderickson from Ketchikan spent on the committee. It was a lot of work, and hopefully at the end of the day here, we'll see this bill moved all the way through, although the next hurdle is going to be a rather substantial one to get over. We also have retired Senator Arlis Sterjaluski online from Anchorage, and Senator Sterjaluski, if you have some brief comments. Ms. Sterjaluski, is she still there?
Okay. Well, Anchorage is muted. Let's see if this helps.
Senator Sterjaluski, can you hear us?
Hello.
Hello. If you have some brief comments.
Yes, I do. Thank you so very much. I wasn't able to attend your first hearing, but last summer and fall, I really did follow closely the work of the advisory committee, and I really applaud the work they did and also the resulting legislation. You indicated you plan to move this, but I hope you'll do more, and that you would be aggressive in seeing it go through the legislature. And I certainly urge you to see that the borough grants section remains. This legislation is evolutionary in nature, but it allows an opportunity to bring form to that very large, unorganized borough. As you well know, we have mandatory boroughs. We have boroughs formed when the economic opportunities develop, like Denali, Aleutians East, Lake and Penn. And as you well know, there's a lot of work going on in the Pogo area. I think we've got about, huge landmass, but about 8% of Alaska's population that's still in the unorganized borough. And although the legislature sits as the borough assembly, it's not chosen to do so, and I think with good reasons. Your issues are issues of statewide concern. But I think what's happened is we have a really unfortunate situation in that self-government and participation is really lacking in many parts of the unorganized borough. Coordination is absent in the delivery of public services. Regional planning is inadequate. And one thing that really strikes me is the state is not coordinating its services on a regional basis. And, of course, we've got the issue of the very survival of villages. So the saddest thing, and I've said this before, but I think what we're seeing is kind of like a game of Monopoly. It's do not pass, do not go to Juneau. And we've seen many people going to Washington, D.C. for needs of the community, but we also see what's happening in Washington, D.C., where we're not going to be seeing the grants come through. So I think it's really incredibly important that we get what this kind of evolutionary legislation on the book and start to bring some form to that area. So I applaud the work that's been done, but I frankly would like to see it in law. I think it's well overdue, and I do thank you, Mr. Chairman, for your courtesy in letting me come in a little late on the issue.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Rzulski. We have one more person we're going to hear, and then we're going to have a recess. We'll hear from Alan Lemester.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I live in the unorganized borough in Gakona, Alaska, and I have been talking with a few of our residents out here. As you probably well know, that this is one of the areas that has been targeted for years as potential borough area, and each time that the issue comes up, there is a strong sentiment among the residents of these communities within the Copper Valley against boroughization, and many of the issues that have been the key to the arguments against that have, I think, very well been addressed in this bill. The question that I'm hearing from people is that, well, if the state's going to give us a whole lot of money or land, and the state's going to give and the state is going to hold all these carrots out for us, and we don't have to pay property taxes and we don't have to pay school taxes, what's in it for the state? Why are they asking us to do this? And I, quite frankly, kind of have that same question in my mind, because it seems like the state is offering an awful lot to areas to become organized and not asking very much back in return. So in the past, the push from the various bills that were out there was to get these areas like the Copper Valley to contribute to the education of our children through paying taxes back to the state through some kind of tax structure. And if that's eliminated, then what's the motive, I guess, is the question. What is the motive behind this type of a borough to get us organized?
Alan, could you please identify yourself for the record and then who you represent?
I thank you. I'm Alan Lemaster. I own Gakona Junction Village in the Copper Valley, north of Glen Allen in Gakona, Alaska.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Stevens.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I can try and respond to what the questions Alan has brought up, I guess, one of the frustrations I think that the department and the legislators have had over the years is that we've sort of reached a point that very few areas have organized into boroughs and local governments that probably that could or that might. And when there's been attempts to force people to do it, it's not worked very well at all. So this is, as you say, a different approach to make it voluntary and offer lots of encouragement and carrots to get people to take this first step of becoming an administrative borough. And it shouldn't be any surprise to you, Alan, that our goal is that you eventually become a borough, only because you have an assembly and you realize that it's good to have some focus and an elected body to represent you, and that you be able to deal with the land issues, and that in time, as the economy develops in these areas that would be logical boroughs, that it's your choice to move on to become a borough, or to realize that once you make so much progress as an administrative borough, it's almost inevitable you become an organized borough. So that's the goal. There's nothing hidden here, Alan. There's no gotcha at the end of all this. It's just to assist communities on a voluntary basis to become an administrative borough in the hopes that in the fullness of time it'll make sense that you become a second-class borough.
Thank you, Senator. I hear what you're saying, but I guess I still don't see... Well, I guess there's two fears. One is, if we become an administrative borough, which is fine, we could, I guess, stay that way forever as long as that's what the people want. Or as the area grows in population, you finally get to a point, I think this is what you may be saying, you finally reach a point where more administrative and regulatory issues are going to be necessary as more people live closer together. That seems to always be the case. However, wouldn't that just be the case anyway? I mean, at some point in the future, when we do come to a point where we think we can afford to pay to the schools and that the taxes should be allocated for that purpose by, say, real estate taxes or whatever, or sales taxes, that through those methods, once we are able to prove to ourselves that we have the financial stability to be able to provide those things, which is the primary problem right now, is we just can't afford it. I mean, you know, there's not enough people living in our area, in our REAA, to raise enough taxes without hurting an awful lot of people with very high taxes. That when enough people move into the area, then there would be sufficient tax base to be able to participate in the borough system. So I guess maybe what I'm hearing is this is kind of a baby step into boroughs, where you may stay in the crib forever, or you may, if the area does find ways to have economical energy, which we don't have, but in someday in the future, if the gas line comes through and all of a sudden we go from 25 cents a kilowatt hour down to 12 cents a kilowatt hour, we become a more attractive place for people to live, and therefore more people come in, and that means we need more control of the area in the borough, a full-fledged borough then would develop from that. Is that what I'm hearing?
I'll go ahead and respond, and then we're going to go to the next caller.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, just very briefly, I like the idea of baby steps. I think that makes sense. Realize that this grant is only for a three-year period and will not be going beyond that point. And there are certainly a lot of areas out there, and maybe Copper Valley is one that is simply not in a position to move towards administrative boroughs. Again, it's your choice. It's voluntary. And should you choose not to take that step, it's certainly understandable, and maybe it's just not for you. But I think there are other areas that are a little bit closer that may have resource development that would make sense that they move towards becoming a full-fledged borough a little quicker than you might be able to.
Okay. Well, thank you for your testimony, Mr. LeMaster. Now we're going to go.
Thank you for the opportunity.
We're going to go to our last call-in, and then we're going to go to a recess. And this is from Bethel, Mr. Dave Trantham. Dave, if you can identify yourself and who you represent. And
good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. My name is Dave Trantham. I represent myself today on Senate Bill 248. I have made efforts in this region by making contacts through Chamber of Commerce, through community governments, to find some support for Senate Bill 248. So far, I've been unable to find any support, and I apologize for that, but I have made effort to find some support from this area. One of the big objections is in Section 14, is the boundaries as specified in Section 14. It is our understanding that the Boundary Commission has established an area the same as the Lower Kuskokwim School District, and that includes Bethel plus 24, 25 communities. The second opposition is finding a way to sustain borough government. We are surrounded, completely surrounded by a wildlife refuge as big as the state of Texas. And there is no state land within 50 miles of this region. These are some of the objections that I am hearing, and I'm just sharing that with you. One other thing I am hearing, and it doesn't sound too good, is forming the entire unorganized borough as Alaska 2, and I hear that often, and I wanted to share that with you. And I do thank you for all your work on Senate Bill 248. The Commission on Local Governments, I appreciate their hard work. And that concludes my comments. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Trentham, for your time. We're going to stand at ease till a call of the chair. And sometime late this afternoon, we'll be coming back in to accept the motion to move this bill. Welcome back on the record. It is 7 minutes after 3. I'd like to let the record reflect that Senator Wagner has joined us. We now have a quorum. Do we have a motion on the bill, please?
Mr. Chair? Yes. I move that we move out Senate Bill 248 / F with the attached two fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Do we hear any objections? Hearing no objections, the bill will move on to the next committee, which is the Senate Finance Committee. Meeting adjourned.